One of the most popular poets of 19th century America, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, lived most of his life in Cambridge. He's known, of course, for Paul Revere's Ride and The Village Blacksmith. He's also known for the iconic bridge between Boston and Cambridge, with its salt and pepper shaker towers that bears his name. You certainly know, if you're a driver or a Red Line rider, that the Longfellow Bridge is undergoing a renovation. It's a project that will take 2 years longer than expected. Reporter Wade Rausch explains why.
In the 1840s, long before there was a stone and steel Longfellow Bridge, the old wooden West Boston Bridge crossed the river at the same spot. For 7 years, the young poet walked that span with suicide on his mind. He loved a young woman on Beacon Hill, but she refused to marry him. Decades later, the poem he wrote about those agonizing years became a popular song.
I stood on the bridge at midnight, as the clock was striking the hour, and the moon rose over the city.
The bridge we know today was built in 1907, and in the 1920s, the state legislature paid tribute to the poet and his love poem by naming it after Longfellow. But aside from a few coats of paint and some changes to make room for Memorial Drive on the Cambridge side, the bridge has been mostly ignored ever since. Charles Sullivan is head of the Cambridge Historical Commission.
You could always look up and see the rusting girders and see that things were falling off it.
In 2007, the MBTA had to limit the speed of Red Line trains crossing the bridge to 10 miles per hour due to safety concerns. And the state closed the bridge on the 4th of July to keep people from breaking through the rusty railings and tumbling into the Charles River. It wasn't until 2008 that the Longfellow Bridge and other decaying bridges in the Commonwealth finally got some love, in the form of a $3 billion bridge repair fund.
This was at the top of the list because of its condition. It would have been a regional disaster if they had let it go any longer.
The bridge's stone towers were fine. So were the big steel arches connecting the 12 masonry piers and abutments. But 2,000 steel columns that rise from the arches to support the deck were beyond hope of repair. Most of them were so rusted through they had to be replaced. At that point, the bridge's fame got in the way.
It's right up there. It's an iconic object. The bridge and the entire Charles River Basin were put on the National Register of Historic Places in 1976.
Preservation regulations required that every visible part of the bridge, down to the smallest piece, had to be restored using the same technology and material used when the bridge was built. And that included thousands and thousands of rivets. Riveting is an ancient technology for fastening metal. Its heyday was from the 1800s until World War II. Charles Sullivan recalls how construction crews in the 50s would heat steel rivets until they were red hot, toss them up to a riveter, and then smash them into place with a pneumatic hammer.
I remember as a child, that was sort of a background noise in a downtown's construction project. Somebody way up high going bang, 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 bang with a rivet gun. Then at one point, at some point, it disappeared.
Bringing rivets back is the job of Jack Klimp.
When we're all done, there will be about 50,000, a little bit more than that, 50, 55,000 rivets we will have installed in our shop.
Klimp is a manager at Chinbro Fabrication and Coatings Corporation. The company is making all of the new steel parts for the Longfellow Bridge at its factory in Georgetown. The challenge was that the riveting technique used on the bridge died out in the 50s, replaced by faster, cheaper methods like welding and high-strength bolts. To follow the letter of the historic preservation law, the company had to resurrect the nearly lost art of riveting. It turned to a modern hydraulic press that requires only two workers to do the job that used to take four. And Jack Klimp says it's a lot quieter.
The press has got many, many tons of force, and the rivet just deforms, not like it's butter, but deforms like it's clay. There's no banging, booming, there's none of that.
So it's much more civilized in a way.
It's a much more civilized process.
But it's also a lot more time consuming. Rebuilding all the visible parts of the Longfellow Bridge using the historically correct technology turned out to be a big job.
And I think sometimes that we sort of fetishize historical accuracy and kind of let that impede progress.
Former Boston City Councilor Tom Keene says it would have been easier just to blow up the Longfellow Bridge and start over.
And quite frankly, we could have built a brand new bridge and done it much more quickly, and it would be up and running right now.
Keene points to the Zakim Bridge just a mile downriver from the Longfellow. That cable stay span was an instant icon when it opened in 2003.
And you could have made a beautiful bridge that might be more reflective even of sort of what Boston looks like now, rather than just trying to say, oh, let's just replicate the past. And that's really what we're doing, is replicating the past.
Cambridge Historical Commission Chief Charles Sullivan acknowledges that using the old-fashioned riveting method did slow things down. Engineers recently shaved about 3 months off the project by closing down the sidewalk on the bridge's downstream side, which gave construction crews room to work faster. But the expected June 2018 completion date is still almost 2 years behind the original schedule.
It's taken longer than we expected, but it's just marvelous to see this thing come back together. And the engineering that's gone into it has been really first class.
A new bridge might have been faster and cheaper to build, but it wouldn't have had the same sentimental connection to Longfellow and his seven lonely years of lovesickness. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Wade Rausch.